I am grateful today that the Word of God has answers to all the whys that we have in our lives. Amen? I want to welcome all of our campuses that are joining with us today. My name is Eddie Couples, and I'm glad you're there today. And I want to thank all of our campus pastors and staffs. In fact, let's give it up at all of our campuses today for our campus pastors who are doing an unbelievable job, as well as their staff. We're glad you're there today, and I'm excited to be able to spend the next few minutes with you in the Word of the Lord. But before we do that today, Love and Truth's vision is changing lives to change our world. And the way that we do that is multifaceted and a lot of things to it. But one of the ways is through missions trips, and we have one that is leaving this Tuesday, going to Kenya. And so we've got it from different campuses that are going to be going. And here's what I want you to do at all the campuses as well as here's North. Let's pray over that team today. And let's pray. My wife is leading that team, so you can pray over me so I won't starve. No, I'm kidding. I know where all the restaurants are. Trust me. But let's pray over this team that God will be with them and that great fruit will come. Can you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we do have a vision, not just for a few people or a few miles, but we really have a vision for the world. And I thank you for men and women who are sacrificing. Lord, they're sacrificing their time. They're sacrificing great amount of money and the ability even to go there. And so what we pray first of all, Lord, is we pray for a hedge of protection about them, that as they travel, that the angels of God would surround them, that you would be with them. No sickness, no harm, no evil can come upon them. And then, Lord, we pray today that as they go, that you will give them much fruit for their harvest. As they go, that they will make a difference that will be life-changing in this country that they're going into Kenya, and that Africa will experience even the beginning of a revival from this group that's going. And we thank you for it. And we pray now, Lord, you'll prepare our hearts to receive your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, right? Hey, listen, we've been talking about why the past couple of weeks. I was out last week, but we're going to continue that subject today. And today I want to talk about why church. Why church? Why go to church? I mean, it's kind of, I meet a lot of people say, well, you know, the church is kind of past and it's not anything anymore. And we're coming to a new season, a new time. But here's what I know. The church began over 2,000 years ago, and it's still going strong. In fact, Jesus said this about the church. He said that the very gates of hell will not prevail against his church. He said he would build the church, right? And so God's in the business of building the church. Now, here's what I know is that the church, the local church, I believe with all my heart, and I want to start with this, the local church is the hope of the world. I believe, come on, hear me. I believe with all my heart that the local church is where the world's going to find hope. We're not going to find it in the political arena. We're not going to find it in financial region. Education won't bring it to us. But in the church, the Lord Jesus Christ has established this thing called the church, and you and I are going to see it move into everything that God has. Now, the book of Hebrews tells us some things, and one of those things that the book of Hebrews tells us is in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, it talks to us and it says, listen, don't give up meeting together. Now, that tells me that we ought to go to church. Now, I'll take some amens, all right? That tells us that we ought to gather together. The Apostle Paul writing here said, don't give up meeting together. He said, as some are in the habit of doing. He said, there's some that have been laying out and they haven't been showing up. And he said, I don't want you to be that kind of person. But he said, when you come together, encourage one another. And he goes on to say, and all the more as you see that day. And when he's talking about that day, he's talking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. When is Jesus coming according to Scripture? Anybody know? Soon. Right? Did not the apostles say, the Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, they said Jesus was coming. Do I need to go back to that? Jesus is coming when? Soon. Now, if he was coming soon 2,000 years ago, it's really soon. Right? And so if it's soon, then the scripture says, don't forsake the assembly. Don't quit going to church. Don't give up on church. People say, well, Pastor, you got to understand, I used to go to church, but there's hypocrites at church. How many of you know some hypocrites that go to church? Just hold your hand. Come on, campuses. Come on, you know some hypocrites. The rest of you don't know anybody, do you? I know hypocrites that go to church. In fact, you ready? All of us are hypocrites about something. Come on. And I always want to say to people, and it's according to how well I know them, I always want to say to them, come on down, one more won't hurt us. Right? Just come on, be a part. Just bring your hypocrites with you. Just get in the house and let's not be put off. If you've been hurt by the church, well, the church wounded me. I'm sorry. If somebody didn't treat you right, I'm sorry about that. But that doesn't mean you give up on the church. The church is the institution that God founded upon this earth that is going to radically change the world. It is the only thing that has the ability to make a difference in a person's life that lasts for eternity. Amen. So we ought to be, if you're not excited about the church, I hope by the time I get through today, you get excited about the church. That you are excited to be part of the church. You're excited to be in the church. You say, well, what's the church all about? When we gather together, what's that about? Well, it's about glorifying God. First of all, God is glorified when we gather together. You say, well, how does that happen? Well, one of the things is that when people drive by the street of whatever campus you're at today, and they see all those cars out there, God's glorified. Let's look at all those people. Listen, today there's in America, there's somewhere over 330,000 churches in the U.S. And today there are millions of people all over the United States of America going to church. Well, what does that say? That says God's getting glory. God's being glorified. Now, here's the sad part of that. According to those who study this, only 25% of Americans are in church today. Uh-oh. So that means 75%, right? I'm good with math. That means 75% aren't there. People say, oh, Pastor, that just sounds really bad. Sounds really bad. No, that sounds really good. You say, you mean all these people not going to church is good? No. Here's what that means. It's like I read years ago about two shoe salesmen that got sent out from their home company. And they sent them to this foreign country. And they said, well, why don't you go over there and want you to sell shoes? And so they get there. And the one guy calls back immediately. He calls back and he says, I'm coming home. And he said, you know what? He said, we can't sell shoes here. Nobody wears shoes. So he got on a plane, came back home. The other guy called the next day. He said, send me all the shoes you've got because nobody here has them yet. Uh-oh. See, 75% doesn't make me go, oh, poor pitiful me. What that says is there's a whole lot of people need some shoes. There's a whole lot of people need Jesus. There's a whole lot of people who need to come into the kingdom of God. There's a whole lot of people who need a local church that can make a difference in their life, that they can come into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ as well as that local. So God is glorified. Secondly, Jesus is proclaimed. When we come together, Jesus Christ is proclaimed. It is only Him. He is the only one that can change your life today. Let me tell you that. If you're here today or you're watching me today, maybe you're on Facebook Live today and you're just watching, you just happen to go across there and you found us. Listen, let me say this to you. Only Jesus can radically change your life. Now, you can do a lot of things, but He is the only one that can take away your sins. He is the only one that can prepare you for eternity. Jesus Christ is the answer to the world's problem today. Amen. Jesus Christ can change you from a hater to a lover. Jesus Christ can change you from a cheater to a righteous person. Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth and the life, and it's only through Him that we come to the Father. So we proclaim Jesus when we gather together. And thirdly, our lives are changed when we come together. We talk about it all the time, changing lives to change our world. We really believe that God wants to change your life. And so I encourage you today, don't give up on the church. Amen. Look at your neighbor. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, don't give up on the church. Come on, do it like you mean it. Be obedient. I know your name. All right. Some of you into campuses there. Bob, Billy. There's a Bob there, I'm sure. All right. Come on. Don't give up on the church. Now, let me show you what happened. The scripture The Old Testament has some stories and has some types and shadows for us in the New Testament. And the book of Psalm, the psalmist writing here, gives us some things about the local house, about the it was referring, of course, in that point about the house of God, but we're referring it today to the church. And it's interesting what it says to the Psalm 92, beginning in verse number 12 and reading through verse 14. Here's what it says. The righteous, that's us. If you're a believer today, you're righteous, okay? You are righteous. So the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted, look at that word. In fact, if you underline in your Bible, maybe underline that. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will, look at this word, flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age, and they will stay fresh and green. Now, here's what I want you to understand. The Word of God talks about this physical place of worship, about getting planted there, about getting rooted there, about all the things that God wants for us. I believe that the local church is important. Amen. I really do. I believe it's not just something. In fact, I recently told you that the reason we go to church on Sunday is a symbol of consecration. What we're saying is we're going to church on the first day of the week. We're setting God as the first priority of our life, saying that the rest of the week is going to bring glory to Him. But we start our week off saying, Lord, we consecrate this day to You, to come to the house of God together with other like-minded individuals. And the local church, especially at Love and True Church, it has a purpose. And the purpose is to encourage people. Sunday is all about encouraging you. I want you to leave today. Whoever you are, it may be your very first time to be at a Love and True Church, or you may have been here since day one, but I want you to leave encouraged today. I want there to be a life change that happens inside of you today that says, you know what? I can go out and I can make a difference. I can change the world. I can do something that's great. But not only do we want you to be encouraged, we want you to engage with your purpose. We want you to find out, what is it that I am supposed to do? Because each and every one of us were made to do something. Amen? And it wasn't to be a thorn in the side of everybody else, right? God created us. He made us. And so I want to engage with my purpose so that I can live out my passion and find my place in the local house. And thirdly, the third thing about the house of God is to encounter His presence. Because here's what I know. When His presence shows up, lives are changed. Amen. When God's presence, it just takes a moment in His presence to kind of change everything for you. And it's so vital that we see that. Now, the scripture talks about, there are four things that I'm going to focus on for the next few minutes that I want you to see. And that is, the first part there, it talks about being planted. And then it talks about flourishing. I love that word, flourish. And then it says that we will bear fruit. And the New Testament says we'll bear much fruit. And then it talks about being fresh. And that's what happens when you get plugged in, when you get into the house of God, and you say, you know what, I'm not just going to be a person who comes every once in a while. Now, I'm going to do a little digging, so just get ready, all right? But I'm going to make up my mind that I'm going to be planted in the house. I'm going to make up in my mind that I'm going to be one who is there. See, that planted thing, we need to understand what it means to be planted. I don't know about you, but here's what I know, is I know that if you're planted, you got to stay put. Right? Come on, if anybody, any gardeners, anybody plant a garden or anything like that? Anybody? Two of you. I don't know about our campus. Okay, I see a little few more. All right, there's a few of you. How many of you know when you put that seed in the ground, you can't go up there and dig it out every day, can you? So I wonder how that's doing. Right? You got to leave it. You got to get planted. You got to stay there. And here's what the word planted actually means. This, it means to place or to fix. In fact, I started to use the word fix and tell everybody they need to get fixed, but I didn't think that was a good thing I'd need to be telling people. So, to place or to fix in a certain location. Now think about that for a minute. Now what that means is that in the kingdom of God, When you get saved, when you come to know Jesus Christ, that you need to find a local church and get fixed. Get founded. Get planted. Get stable. Stay there. You can't be digging your roots up every 3 weeks. You can't say, well, Pastor, I'm just following the leading of the Spirit. Well, where's the Spirit? Well, this week he's leading me to over here, and next week he's leading me down. No, no, no. Now, listen carefully, Pastor. I'm not saying that there's not times that you need to go. You've been in one church, and after a long season, God moves you. I know those things happen. But here's what I would say to us, and please hear me carefully and hear my heart when I say this. The moving from one place that I've been planted to the next place ought to be few and far between. It ought to be a life-changing reason that I'm doing that. It can't just be, well, I didn't like the temperature, right? I didn't like the smoke that they had in the building. I'm talking about the inside the building before you got in. That's a whole nother deal. Why y'all look so holy sometimes, all right? It's that whole aspect there of being permanent, of saying, you know what? This is my house. This is the place God called me to be. You know, I told you 75% of people aren't in church today. Another startling statistic that I came across in preparation for this is that a regular attender at church now is considered somebody who goes twice a month. Now, I don't know. Let me ask this question here at North, and those of you in campuses answer as well. How many of you grew up in a family that you went to church anytime the lights were on? Anybody? Come on, hold your hand up. You know you did. I was a preacher's kid. My Lord, if they were washing windows, I went to church. Come on down there. You can pray a little bit while they're washing the windows. I mean, it was, you know, Sunday morning you went to church, Sunday night you went to church, Monday they had something going, Tuesday they had prayer meeting, Wednesday they had Bible study, Thursday we just need to pray because Wednesday night wasn't as good as it should have been, Friday was youth, Saturday we praying again, and Sunday all, I mean, it was constant. You went to church. Now, I'm not advocating for that. I don't want to go back to those days, but here's what I would say. Listen, if you only ate twice a month, here's the aspect that you need to understand when you get planted in a local house is it's in that local house that you receive nutrition. See, when that plant is in the ground, it's receiving nutrients from the ground that makes it grow. And if you say, well, Pastor, I'm just not growing, it could be. It's not you, it's somebody over here. Not y'all, it's them. It could be that the reason you're not growing is because you're not planted like you need to be. See, it could be that the Sundays you don't show up. Uh-oh. See, I know what you're saying. Well, Pastor, I can watch you on Facebook Live. I did that the other day. We weren't here. I watched it on Facebook Live. I just want to tell you, sitting at the pool watching it on Facebook Live just does not translate to being in the house of God. I'm just going to tell you. I love you guys. I'm glad you're there, but I'm just telling you. I did it, but it wasn't the same as being in the house, all right? And so it's in the house that you receive nutrition. And in fact, the house brings protection and nurturing to you, okay? You're protected and nurtured in the local house. And so you need to have somewhere where you're planted. Because if you're planted, then the scripture says you'll flourish. I love that word, flourish. The word flourish means to achieve success. Woo! Anybody want to be successful? Come on, anybody want, act like you really mean it. Come on. No, I want you like you mean, I want to be. I want to be successful. I don't want to be a failure. I don't like to fail playing tiddlywinks. Somebody told me once, they said, you're the most competitive person I've ever seen. I said, I play to win. I don't care what it is. And listen, if I play to win in Monopoly or racquetball back in the day, I sure ought to play to win when it comes to the house of God, the kingdom of God, and the things of God. right? And the Word of God says that you'll flourish. You get planted, it says that you'll flourish, that you will achieve success. In other words, a breakthrough is going to come to your life. I don't know about you, but I'd like a little breakthrough right now. I'd like some areas of my life for the enemy to be just pushed way back. In fact, I'd like the enemy just to be pushed completely off the map for a breakthrough in my life. The Word of God talks about there that what happens in that moment of flourishing in a tree, what happens is that cedar tree or that palm tree is that it blossoms and it spreads. A palm tree can grow up to 90 feet tall. As the cedars of Lebanon grew to hundreds of feet tall, lived hundreds of years, and the circumference of them was huge, how big they were. And that's what God says, I want to know. He said, you're going to be like that cedar of Lebanon. You're going to be like that palm tree that's at the oasis where people come and they're able to get under the shade and they're able to receive fruit. He said, this is what you're going to be. But first of all, you got to get planted in the house of God. And so I want to challenge you today. Don't just be somebody who comes when it's convenient. Don't just be someone who says, well, Pastor, and I'm not getting on you. I'm just trying to help you. I'll be there when it's convenient. I'll be there, you know, it's summertime. I know it's summertime. Go on vacation. Enjoy your vacation. But when you come back, don't wait 4 weeks to come back to church. Right? Well, we got to unpack. My Lord, what did you take? All right? Come on. I know you got to wash clothes. I know you got to, but you know, put aside a couple hours. Come to the house of God. Get flourishing. Let there be some blossoming happening in your life. Because what happens in the house, the flourishing that takes place is spiritual growth in your life. If you want to grow spiritually, I believe with all my heart, you've got to be planted in the house of God. I believe, now you say, but I can just take, my, you know, Brother So-and-so, he's my favorite preacher. Praise God, I'm glad you got Brother So-and-so. Or you know that Joyce Meyer, I just love that Joyce Meyer, and she just feeds me. I'm glad Joyce Meyer feeds you. But you still need a local church. You still need a house of the Lord. You still need a place where you are planted. And where they know you and you know them, you got to have a place to be planted in. And then he said that after you're planted and you start flourishing, he said, here's what you're going to do. You're going to bear fruit. See, that bearing fruit is the outward actions of our life. The book of Galatians says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. It's listing all these things. It says that's what the fruit of the Spirit is. But you know, here's what I found out about fruit. Never heard anybody teach this, so I'm going to teach it. Okay? How many of you know that fruit only lasts for a little while? Amen. Amen? Ever gone to the store, buy some bananas? Hanging them up on that nice little thing you got in your kitchen, and you know you're supposed to hang them just a certain way, and they won't rot real quick. But you leave them there about a week. You better make some banana cake, banana bread, banana muffin, banana something, because by another day or two, it's going to be spoiled. Here's the deal about fruit. Fruit is not something that you have forever. Fruit is something that you're consistently working on. I got joy today, but tomorrow. All right, I got patience today, but you're getting on my last nerve. Right? I've always said, why was it your parents always waited till you were on their last nerve to tell you? I'll leave that alone. All right? So the fruit is something that God wants to produce in our lives. And I put this in your notes, and I want you to see it. I want to take a few minutes here with us. And I want you to get this. It says, in our lives, producing fruit, God is the source. Right? God is the source. The church is the gardener, and the individual is the product. God's the source. The church is the gardener. The individual is the product. Now just put that down. Let me work with it a minute. Scripture says that if we abide in Him, we will produce much fruit. See, that branch doesn't go, ooh, I need some fruit, I need some fruit, ooh, right? But that's what a lot of Christians do. Oh, I need more faith. Oh, if I could just have more faith, more faith, more faith. No, I just abide in Him. I just think, because why? Because he's producing faith. I can't produce faith. Uh-oh. You say, well, the Bible says faith cometh by, and hearing by, the word of God. The word there, I'm not trying to be too deep, the word there is rhema. It's not logos, it's not the written word of God, it's the revealed, it's the spoken word of God. It's that when God speaks, and in that moment, I didn't do it, he gave it to me. Does that make sense? You didn't create faith, he gave you the word for faith. Uh-oh. See, when we begin to understand that, it takes some pressure off. You say, wait a minute, God's my source. Now, the church is the gardener. Now, here's where we get in trouble. The church is the gardener, and we get mad at the church. Because sometimes it's pruning season. Sometimes you got to cut back some stuff to get the good stuff in the next season. Sometimes pastor is going to say some things that you're not going to like. And if you're not planted in the house of God, I'm not going to find me a church where they'll be nice to me. Right? I'm going to take my ball and go home. You know, I came to this church because they had a good this or a great that or whatever. Uh-oh, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Listen, you don't go to a church for what they have. You go to a church for who they have. The what is just side benefits to the who. If he's in the house, I'll go. I don't care what, they may not even have a band. They may, have a guitar with three strings on it. But if that's where I'm supposed to be and he's there, right? Now, I believe everything in excellence, but if that's where I'm supposed to be, then that, it's not about, they got a better children's ministry down the road across the railroad track or whatever. No, wait a minute. It's about where am I supposed to be planted? And so the church, the gardener, come on, a lot of us did this back in the fall, early spring. You or somebody came to your house and cut back all the shrubs. And the first day you looked at it, you go, I remember we drove in our neighborhood and Sherry looked at our house and go, our house looks horrible. Because they'd cut they cut it back too. But then the springtime hit and boom, new life took place. See, there are times, let me say this to you, I'm not called to be your best friend. I'm called to be your pastor. All right? It took me years to figure that out. When I first went into ministry, I thought I was supposed to be everybody's friend. Oh, they all got to love me. They all got to like me. No. I want you to love me, and I hope you like me. But at the end of the day, it's not about me and you being best friends. It's about me telling you what thus saith the word of God to help you to fulfill the mandate that God has for your life. See, and one of the aspects of that is what we have to understand is that the individual is the product, and the product has to produce. You have to do something with what you've been given. And I was praying. I've been really troubled over, several months, if not a year or so now. If you ask the staff, it's probably been years. But I've been troubled about the lack of growth across the board with our churches. Now, I can say that. I mean, when you put our number, Loving True Church on any given Sunday has 2,300 to 2,500 in attendance. So that makes us the top 1% in the nation, okay? So we can shout about that, or we can say, wait a minute, what has God called us to do? And years ago, I know the Lord spoke to me and told me that there was going to be a day that I pastored 3,000 people. Now, it wasn't an ego thing because I was pastoring all the people I wanted. I'll be honest with you. But God said, you're going to pastor. And so I've warred with that word for years, okay? The Bible says to war with the word of your prophecy. I've warred with that word for years. And I've just really been hammering in on it recently. And the Lord spoke to me the other day, and he said this, and I want you to hear it carefully. He said, the church can only grow to the level of its ability to minister to people. Let me say that again. The church can only grow to the level of its ability to minister to people. In other words, God can't send you more people than you have ministers to minister to them. I'm going to dig a minute. See, it's nice to come to church and just soak it up and go home. But here's what I want to say to you. Whatever campus you're at, whoever you are today, I would dare say somebody sacrificed to create a place that you could come to so your life could be changed. Somebody was there before you got there, for most of us. Somebody paid a price. Somebody showed up. Somebody swept the parking lot. Somebody made sure the chairs were set up. Somebody did all kind of things. And then I was just able, we were just able to walk in and go, oh, doesn't this feels good. But here's what I want to say to you. Just like you once needed a place, 75% of our community needs a place. But God can't send them. You ready? God can't, he could, but he won't send them if we're not prepared to minister to them. He's not going to give us babies, and understand how I use that term, he's not going to give us babies for the nursery if we don't have anybody to take care of babies. He's not going to send us people. I'm not trying to get in your business any more than I'm going to get in your business. It's easy to be a spectator, especially the larger a church gets. It's easy to come in and say, oh, everything's together, and isn't it nice, and the building's nice, and on and on and on. But what we forget sometimes is that it took somebody sacrificing, it took somebody giving, it took somebody loving, it took somebody going out of their way to prepare the place that we walked into. And I know I'm pushing against the philosophy of our day. But could it be that the reason that Love and Truth Church is not growing at an incredible rate, because it has in its past, could it be that God is saying, I looked on the field, they were white or ready to harvest, but the laborers, the ministers, the door greeters, the ushers, the teachers, the singers, the musicians, everybody just wanted to hear it. They wanted to experience. And God says, what I want is I want more people involved in my Father's work. I want more people involved in ministry, because it's through that that lives are changed. Amen. Let me give you the last one. The last part of that verse there says that you'll be fresh if you're planted in the house of God. That word fresh, and I love this when I looked it up, the word fresh means not stale. Ever been around some stale people? It means not faded. It says having its original qualities unimpaired. That's what it means to be fresh. The fill in there, because some of you, you know, get all nervous if I don't give it to you, so here it is. The fill in there is prosperous. Now, when I use the word prosperous, don't think money. All right? 1 John says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou would prosper. And we always think money, no? He said, I wish thou would prosper even as thy soul prospers. All right? It's about every area of your life. You can have a lot of money and not be prosperous. Amen? You can have millions and your family's bankrupt and your health is shot and all kind of things. I mean, that prosperity is talking about every area of your life. And as I read this, the Geneva, I was reading some different translations. And I love this translation. I'm going to wrap up with this. The Geneva translation of the Bible says, the children of God will have a power above nature. Now don't miss this, okay? The children of God will have a power above nature. Now think about it. What it's saying is we're going to operate like Jesus operated. Come on, I want you to get this. I don't want you to miss it. The children of God are going to have a power above nature. How did Jesus operate? He operated above nature. Two fish, five loaves, 5,000 men plus women and children. Want to pay taxes? He didn't go get all stressed out and say, "What are we going to sell?" He said, "Go down to the fishing hole, get a line, get a pole." Right? Catch it, look in its mouth, they got the coin, come back, go pay the taxes, and there'll be enough for you, for us, and all of us. Above nature. That word fresh there means that when you get planted in the house of God, that you're going to live a life that is so abundant that it's going to blow everybody's mind. The Bible says this, and we'll wrap this up. The Word of God says that God will supply all of your what? Needs. Now watch what it says, because I think we miss this. According to His riches in glory. When you have a need, you got to tap into something that is above this world. You got to believe that you have power over the power of nature. You don't look to your paycheck. You don't look to your banker. You don't look to the government. You don't look to Social Security. You don't look to, you look to something that is above nature. Jesus was never stumped for a miracle except when they didn't believe. Every other time he was able to do it. You and I have got to get planted. Because as we're planted in the local house, things begin to happen. Our lives begin to take on a freshness. And the Bible says that people are going to ask you, "What's that hope that's down inside of you?" And you're going to be able to say, "Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about a church that changed my life. Let me tell you about a house that you can go to and you can be encouraged and you can find and be engaged in your purpose and you can encounter the presence of God, and one moment in His presence will change everything." Amen. Come on, let's thank God for His word today, can't we?